2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass, in weight he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him, and smote the Philistine and killed him. Thank God for that. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sabrachai, the Hushite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elihan, the son of Jerajim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, and had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. Now these 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Help us now, Heavenly Father, for these things in Jesus' name we do ask and pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. As we look in this chapter, and I was thinking about how much I had preached on this chapter in years past, and I believe it's just been twice over the years that we've used this text scripture. Once preached on when David the giant killer needed a little help, and we preached with that thought out of chapter 16. But if we look back in the chapter, let me say quickly that a famine has come because of the house of Saul. He had killed the Gibeonites when Israel had made a covenant with them, and he broke at that covenant and killed them, and God had brought a famine. Now let me say this, that friend, when God brings a famine in your life, you might want to look and see why. Amen. Hey, listen, it does get dry every now and again. Amen. Sometimes it's just the season that we're in. And sometimes there's a reason behind it. If you say, I've never been dry since I've got saved, I hope that's the truth. But I'd say that you're lying to me. That's like saying that you've never had a crossword with your wife or with your husband. I'd say you're lying. Amen. I know better. I've been married for almost 24 years. They've been good years, but we've had some crosswords between one another. Let me say this, we've had a lot more loving words than crosswords. Amen. But listen, what it took to fix the situation was that David sent them 7 sons and that of Saul up there, and the Gibeonites hung them and killed them. And the Bible said in verse 14, and after that God was entreated for the land. So God was satisfied with the situation at hand. But I want to pick up in verse 15 and preach primarily out of verse 15 and verse through verse 17. And the Bible said right here that David went to battle with the enemy. Now I want to preach for just a little while with the thought of when the battle gets on. Now I'm probably not going to tell you anything that you've never heard me say before, but you need to understand that the Christian life is a battle. I mean, it's a fight that we must keep battling day in and day out. Over in the book of Nehemiah, when they were building the wall, they built it. The Bible said in 52 days that when they knew the enemy was going to come, he said that every man held in his hand, in one hand a tool and in the other hand a weapon. And so they were building and battling. And it seems like what we do constantly is build and battle. Now look in verse 15. The Bible said that the Philistines yet had war again with David. Do you realize that David has fought the Philistines all his life? Hey, listen, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, when David comes up there to the battle where Goliath is, that was a Philistine, amen. And listen, he has fought these stinking Philistines all his life and still can't get them killed, amen. Hey, can I tell you today, friend, that me and you are fighting the same enemy, the same battle, with the same thing, it seems, over and over and over again, and we can't get it killed. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion. What about seeking whom he may devour? Satan's after you today. Listen, I want you to understand that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31, Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, he said, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Boy, I'm telling you, if you've ever been in the sifter, you don't know what's up. You don't know what's down. Friend, you just know you're in the midst of a battle and you want out of that thing. You can't get away from it. No matter how hard you try, it seems. I want you to understand something that just as sure as the Philistines, if you'll look down, the reason I read all that is because all the rest of that chapter, they fought the Philistines. Do you realize that? David fought the Philistines. You come down and you look in verse 18, and it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines. You find again in verse 19, and there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines. In verse 20, you find there was a battle in Gath. And I mean, it was over and over and over. And does it seem like, friend, that you fight the same battle every day? And you're fighting the same enemy every day. I want you to understand something, that your enemy's going to show up. Your enemy's going to want to fight. And I'm going to tell you, he's meaner than you are and tougher than you are.
Amen.
Now, I stand up here and carry on a lot of times about how I like a good fight. And I like to watch a good fight. I do. I'll be honest with you. I like to watch a good fight. I like to see one. But boy, I'm telling you, when it involves me, that's a whole different ball game. I'm going to be honest with you. When it involves you, it's a whole different ball game. Because I'm going to be honest with you. When the fighting and the battle really gets on, friend, somebody is probably going to get hurt. And so I'm glad today that as they sung that song, He Abides, He Abides. Boy, I can remember just about the first time ever hearing that song sung. It always brings back that memory that I remember the first time ever singing that song in the choir. He abides, He abides. Hallelujah, He abides. Hey, I'm glad there's somebody on the inside of me that's greater than the world. Amen. Bible said, little John, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Amen. I may not be able to defeat him, but praise the Lord Jesus, he can today. Amen. I hope you know him. If you don't know him, you need to get saved today. But listen, I want you to know something before I get started. You need to understand that your flesh is also your enemy. Satan is your enemy, but the flesh is your enemy. We've seen in our Sunday school class this morning, in the young adult class, Galatians 5, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And so there is a fight that takes place between our flesh and our outer man. But I want you to understand something. The blessed Lord Jesus, even he had to fight while he was here. In Matthew chapter 4, you find that friend that he faced Satan over there that come and tempted him and wanted him to quit, wanted him to appeal to the flesh, but yet he did not give in. And so there's a battle that we all have to fight. Number one, I'm going to preach. My wife said, just quit telling me that you're going to preach fast. She said, just preach and we'll go home. I said, okay, that's what I'll do. Amen. Number one, I want you to look at the fighting of David. I want you to see that first of all, the Bible said right here that moreover the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down. David is no longer the 17 or 18 year old young man that faced Goliath, but he's about 60 years old right here. And David has put on his sword and no doubt his armor, and he's went out and that to fight with the enemy. Can I tell you something? David knew how to fight. You go back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, you'll find out that David killed a bear and a lion. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that takes a man to kill a bear and a lion. He wasn't sitting back there with no 308 hiding in a tree somewhere. The Bible said that he grabbed him by the beard and killed him. Now that's getting pretty close to the enemy to grab him by the beard, ain't it? Amen. Hey, listen, David knew how to fight. Not only did he kill the bear and the lion, but in the same chapter, he faced Goliath that was almost 10 feet tall, and by the help of God, destroyed him. You look in the chapter, chapter 18, you'll find out that the women, when they played their instruments, they sang back and forth, and they said Saul had slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. David knew how to fight. If there was anybody that was a warrior, that was valiant, that had intestinal fortitude, and had courage, it was David. David understood battle. Do you understand why God would not let him build the temple? David was a man that had bloody hands. And not only was he a man that had bloody hands in the fact that he went out to war, but he was a man that had committed murder, hadn't he? Think about that for just a second. But David knew how to fight. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you better learn how to fight today. If you're going to make it through the Christian life, you better know how to face your enemy. You better understand and know what to do. Hey, listen, even when the Amalekites come through there in 1 Samuel 30 and burnt down Ziklag, and the Bible said that's where they talked about stoning David, and the Bible said, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what he done? He went over there and he asked God what he should do. Hey, listen, when he went to face Goliath, you know what he'd done? He said, this battle is not mine, but it's the Lord's. He said, in the name of the Lord, of the God of Israel, in whose army you defy, that's the name I'm coming in. Listen, I think as we face the battle and face the enemy, hey, we try to do this thing in the flesh so much. We try to defeat Satan in the flesh, and he whoops us every time. But friend, if we'd call on God and say, help us, I believe he'd come by and help us. Amen. Take your Bible and go to the book of Psalms chapter 71. Psalms chapter 71. If there was ever a man that knew how to battle, it was David. If there was ever a man that was up and down, it was David. I mean, boy, it seemed like God would hide a while. Seems like he'd just get in a mess and he'd call out to God. I think sometimes God lets the battle get on so we'll call out. I do. I believe we've got it made so easy sometimes in our Christian life that we tend to not call on God and ask God, talk to him. Bible said in Psalms chapter 71, look in verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation whereunto I may continually resort. Where did you catch that right there? He said, you be that strong habitation where I what? Continually. That means go to all the time. That word resort, where I can go and find some rest. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and the cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Well, I tell you, when the battle gets on, how many of us want to praise the Lord? Can I ask you that? I'm going to be honest with you. We get beat down so much, sometimes we don't even know how to look up if we ain't careful. And we'll forget to praise the Lord. And knowing that if we'll just praise Him, He'll help us. Hey, listen, He said, I am as a wonder unto many, but Thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the days. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine eyes speak against me. For mine enemies, boy, that don't make no sense when I said eyes. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Well, you ever felt that way? You ever felt that way, that God's forsook you and left you? And it just seems like the battle rages on and you fight. And you're just fighting and fighting and fighting. And you're saying and thinking that God has deserted you. Your enemy's thinking that God has deserted you. Saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. Verse 12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. Boy, if there's anybody that knew how to cry to God, David did, didn't he?
Amen.
Listen, he knew what it took. He knew, hey, I'm going to tell you today that, friend, we need to learn how to cry out to God when the battle's on. When the battle gets red hot. And I don't know if your battle gets red hot. Mine gets red hot sometimes. And I don't even think we've seen the worst of it yet, but I'm going to tell you, Satan bothers me. Does he bother you? Now listen, I know that sometimes our flesh is what bothers us. Let me put my glass up. Does he bother you? If he don't bother you, then you ain't doing nothing for the Lord, friend. He's got you where he wants you at. And listen, David knew how to fight. He knew how to call on God. Hey, let me put it to you like this. If you don't learn how to fight, it's going to be a slaughter is what's fixing to happen. You know why some people get, you know why some people quit church, quit God? Their testimony gets ruined. It just all falls apart. They never learned how to fight. And if it's just one-sided, it's going to be a slaughter. Satan's going to walk in and he's just going to wipe you out and walk on through. You better learn in Ephesians 6 how to pick up your shield of faith. You better learn how to put your armor on and draw out your sword and get ready to fight. Hey, listen, David, he come down there in 1 Samuel 17 and seen them fighting over there and shouted for the battle. He got over there talking to some folk about the battle, and his older brother got on to him, about all that, and he turned and said, is there not a cause? You need to understand that there is a cause to fight. You better learn how to fight. You better just learn how to square up and fight. David knew how to fight. He knew that there were some things at stake if he didn't fight. His kingdom was at stake if he didn't fight. And he was going to lose everything that God had gave him if he didn't fight. Do you realize, hey, listen to me, moms and dads. Hey, listen, your children are worth fighting for.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, listen, you go over to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. Nehemiah told him over there. He said, now look, and I rose up and said unto the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. He said, all this is worth fighting for. He said, fight for your brethren. Hey, I believe the church is worth fighting for.
Amen.
Amen. I believe this church is worth fighting for. I believe that your home is worth fighting for. I believe your marriage is worth fighting for. Amen. And salvation. You know where the devil wants to work on you at? In your home today. Amen. He wants to turn husband against wife, wife against husband, mom and dad against children, children against mom and dad. Amen. And by the way, moms and dad, it's your house to run, Amen. Not your children's. Amen.
Come on, Mark. Come on.
Hello.
Amen.
We're in a mess now because children's running the house. And not mom and dad. You better get a hold of the reins because you're going to have another battle to fight later on down the road that you don't want to fight, friend.
Right. Come on.
You better get a hold of it. But he said, look, he said, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Your family is at stake. Hey, can I tell you, they souls at stake. I believe we need to know how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we need to know how to fight. Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3, before our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Hey, listen, we need to be fighting for that world out there to go get them. To go get them. Satan's already got them. We need to go get them. Hey, listen, he may have you this morning. I know he does if you're not saved.
Yeah.
Amen. 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 You are at the will of Satan this morning and you need to get saved. But listen, I believe there are souls out there that are at stake and we need to continually fight. We need to continually go. Hey, listen, David knew how to fight. There was a reason. There was a reason to fight. What do you think's worthy of a good fight? You think your testimony is worthy of a good fight? Worth a good fight? I think it is. I'd rather go down swinging as to go down not. I don't want to go down at all. Amen. I mean, but listen, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging.
Amen.
Better know how to fight. You need to understand where the battle rages at. David was fighting a fleshly battle, but we do not fight in the flesh. Now, the Bible tells us for our weapons. Let me see if I can get over here. Where's it at? It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is. He tells us about the warfare that we have. And he tells us this. Are you fighting a battle today? Let me ask you that right there. You may be fighting a battle and just don't know what to do. So just hold on. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're in the flesh, but it ain't in the flesh that we fight. Well, I wish we did. I really wish we did. I think sometimes it'd be easier just to fight in the flesh. If we could just take our coats off and just duke it out. I mean, I think sometimes it would just be a whole lot simpler to fight that way. He said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know where my battle starts at? Right there. Right there is where I start my fight at. Right here. In my mind. That's where the devil afflicts me and affects me the most is in my mind. It's hard to have a straight mind some days. It's hard to keep everything focused. It's hard to keep all the bad stuff out. You know why I'm teaching you all on studying your Bible down there in that class? Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his ways? By taking heed unto the Word of God, the Bible tells us. When my mind gets so messed up in my mind that we're fighting that battle, friend, the only thing I know to do is get in this book and begin to wash my mind and clean it. I draw the sword out of God's Word and begin to fight back with this book. Matthew 4, when the Lord fought Satan over there, how did he fight him? With the Word of God. The battle rages on in our mind, and he said we're to bring every thought, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We get out, listen, it's when we let that mind wander on with what Satan is afflicting and affecting us with, and he'll have you quit before it's over with. And when he sees that you're not going to quit, He's going to start working on you. And sometimes it is fleshly. Even though we do not battle in war in the flesh, what I'm saying is, like I said, He'll turn your kids against you. He'll rire them up against you. And I mean, and if you don't fix that thing, huh? And He'll let that marriage get messed up. I say, let it get messed up. Satan will come in to mess it up.
Amen.
You're the one that lets it get messed up.
Right.
You say, well, the other... Sometimes you can't help what somebody else does. But all you can do is help what you do. Amen.
Right.
You can't make somebody else do right. Listen. Right. Listen, David knew how to fight. He knew. He knew. I knew that point was going to be long if I stayed with him. But he knew. And he knew why he needed to fight. Because there were some things at stake. But I want you to look at not only the fight of David, but look at the end of verse 15 at the fainting of David. A man that knew how to fight and knew how important the fight was, David got faint. That word faint means weak. It means feeble. It means exhausted. It means at one point becoming cowardly, and I don't think that was David. It means dejected, dispirited, or depressed. It's what that word faint means. Whatever happened to David, something in there took his drive. Something took his energy from something made him weak and made him feeble. Something took his strength from him and that to be able to fight. Boy, it's one thing to fight when you feel good. It's one thing to fight. I'm talking about when you've ate good, you've exercised well, you're trained. You know, them boys get in the boxing ring, most of them's trained for a long time.
Amen.
You ever watch them? Is it the AFC fighting? They train. Now, they're brutal, man. I mean, they're brutal. They just beat on each other until they're a bloody pup. And I mean, but they've trained to do that. No doubt David had trained to fight. But somewhere he got weak, didn't he? Can I tell you, if me and you are not careful, we will train to fight, but we will become weak in the battle. You find a time when David, I made mention of this, when the Amalekites come in and burnt Ziklag. And David asked the Lord, do I chase after them? And he said, go. And they started to go. And half of those men, or 200 of those men, they got down there to the crossing, I guess you'd say, kind of like a creek. And they said, we can't go no further. We're faint. And so David just parked them there and said, you stay by the stuff and we'll go on and now you have to understand something. When you get weak in the battle, maybe this is where you're at. When you get weak in the battle, Satan's fixing to take advantage of that. If you've not kept on reading your Bible like you ought to read it. Amen. If you've not prayed. The preacher, I have prayed till I'm blue in the face. I know. I've been there.
Amen.
Trust me.
Amen.
I've been there. I understand. Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Listen. Listen. Sometimes God will just come by and give you just enough energy to fight on a little more. Kind of like Samson. I thought, you remember we looked at Samson last week and he had killed them 1,000 Philistines out there with the Bible said a new jawbone of that ice over there and he had killed 1,000 men and then he got weak. I sat down and thought about that this week. How much energy do you think he took up killing 1,000 men? Well, think about that for just a minute. He had to work at that. Right? All he was holding was that jawbone. And he killed 1,000 men. I think that's a lot of work.
Amen.
I was out working Just a little bit. I worked about 2.5-3 hours this past week, but it's in the hottest part of the day. But got white-eyed. I mean, while I was out there. The time I got home, I was in bad shape. And that's what made me think about Samson. I sure ain't like Samson. But think about what was expended energy-wise. And he became faint, and God helped him. Bible said that it claimed a spot in that jawbone and let it fill up. God come by and helped him. But David got faint. I want you to understand something. In the battle, you're liable to become faint. Don't think that, friend, that you can just go on and 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 not refresh yourself and renew yourself. This is something I'm learning right now as your pastor, that I've got to get around good preaching. I've got to get around good preaching. I've got to do good preaching, but I need good preaching preached to me. I need to be preached to. Just as much as you need to be preached to, old Mark needs to be preached to. I mean, I need to know, man, when I sat down that I have been preached to, and I need some help along the way. But if you don't eat right, and if you don't exercise right, and if you don't train, and listen, that's why it tells desire to sincere miracle of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That's why we need to get involved into the meat of the Word so that we can understand how to fight and how to battle, you see. David knew how, but yet he became faint. He knew how to fight, but David became faint. Can I tell you that in your Christian life, you'll become faint. There's times you'll be weak. There's times that you'll be exhausted. There's times you'll be dejected and depressed if you ain't careful. And if you ain't real careful, you'll find yourself becoming a coward in the Christian battle. And I don't ever want that to happen. When the battle gets on, you need to cry out for some help. And every now and again, you know what God will do? He'll pull you off the battlefield for a day or two and just give you a little bit of rest and relaxation. You know why me and my wife's going on vacation? I need some rest and relaxation. Amen. You know why my wife needs rest and relaxation? You know why you like to go on vacation? You like rest and relaxation, don't you? Huh? Sometimes it's more like work to go on vacation than what it is to have vacation. Amen. Sometimes I think it's easier just to take the time off instead to house. Amen. It's cheaper for sure.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, all them boys that's been in battle and war and on the front, you know what they do? Every now and again they'll bring them back. And they'll let them have a little R&R and get them resting, let them get refreshed, and then send them back out front. I'm not saying God lets us quit fighting. I'm just saying He has a way of letting us rest and get built back up and ready for the fight. I don't know how He does it, but He does it. Number three, I want you though to look. David got faint, but look at his formidable opponent. What are you talking about? The Bible said that his name was Ishbibenob. That's a strange name, ain't it? Which was the sons of the giant, whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass, that's 10 pounds, or thereabout. And he girded a new sword and thought to have slain David. Now listen, that word formidable means exciting fear or apprehension. I believe when David realized that he was faint, he realized that he was in trouble because he knew that his opponent was bigger than he was. If you lose sight of your opponent, you're in trouble. I don't think David ever really lost sight of his opponent. He realized, I mean, this man was a giant. He was of the sons of the giant. I believe he was a giant. His spear weighed 10 pounds. You know, a gallon of milk weighs 8 pounds. So this man's got a spear that weighs 10. How would you like, how far do you think you could throw a 10-pound spear? I doubt that most of us can make it back there at the end of the wall. We might get a little further. I might be maybe a little vacation Bible school. Little game there. We'll try that out. What I'm saying is this was a man. This was a big man. This is a man that's bigger than David. And David had intestinal fortitude, was going to go out and fight, wanted to fight, knew how to fight, but yet become faint. And now he is facing an opponent that is greater than he is. He's facing an opponent that can kill him. He is facing an opponent that is more powerful than he is. You understand what I'm saying this morning? When, I want you to understand something about Satan. And you've heard me say this a million times. I'm going to say it again. Listen to me. When he gets you down, he will kick on you.
Amen.
He does not quit no matter what. If he can get you down and get you there to that place, he will continue to beat on you and beat on you and beat on you. I'll never forget my pastor years ago, church that me and Kelly got married in. Just some things stick with your mind. And I'll never forget, he was preaching out of Ephesians 6 on the armor of God, and he was preaching about that shield of faith. And I remember him talking about that shield of faith, holding that shield of faith up. And he said, as long as you hold that shield of faith up, you'll keep the devil off of you, but he's going to continually beat on you and beat on you and beat on you till you draw that sword out. And I've never forgot that. You can throw up the shield of faith and let him beat on you and beat on you and beat on you, and he's going to keep beating on you and beating on you and beating on you and beating on you, and you better somewhere along the line pull this book out.
Amen.
And you better go to cutting. Because your opponent is formidable. He is a fearful opponent. He does impress dread in me when I think of fighting him by myself. We cannot get out of bed in the morning and holler boo at the devil and expect him to run away from us.
Amen.
I want you to look at what happened. The Bible said he thought to have slain David. That's just what he thought. He thought he had him. He knew David was faint. He knew he had him beat down. He knew that he had him in a place, a listen, where he could probably get him. But ain't you glad? Ain't you glad that a friend come by? And Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. That means to draw him out, you know. And smote the Philistine and killed him. I'm glad the Lord will come by and help us. Psalms 40 said, but I'm poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me, and thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no turn, O my God. David, in more than one time, said, Lord, I need you to make haste to come to my rescue. A friend coming to the rescue. I'm glad that the Lord Jesus is my friend.
Amen.
I'm glad he saved me. He keeps me. He's concerned about me and wants to help fight my battle. But can I tell you, every now and again, friend, you get to help somebody else fight their battle. Galatians 6 and 1 said, brethren, he said, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now I'm going to deal with this one day here pretty soon. If you go back to chapter 5, it teaches us on spirituality. So he's in chapter 6. He said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes people need you to come to their rescue. They need a pat on the back. They need you to lean over in their ear and say, just want you to know that I'm praying for you. I heard some things about what's going on in your family, going on in your life. Anytime that you might want to sit down and talk about it, I'll be happy to listen. If you want to call me, you call me. I'll be happy to listen. But I want you to know I'm praying for you. Sometimes that's what people need. I went to eat with some folk here a while back, and it was just nice to have that time of fellowship.
Just a time of fellowship. That relaxed me and restored me more than that hour's worth just sitting at the dinner table than I'd had in a long time. It was just good to sit around and talk. Sometimes that's just what people need. We are made that way. I mean, we think that's unspiritual. Sometimes people just need to tell you what's in their heart and what they're fighting and going through. Not that they need you to tell them what to do. They just need to tell somebody about it. I don't understand that, but I know that's what happens sometimes. They just need to say, man, here's what's going on. I just wish somebody would pray for me. Just wish somebody would pray for me. Just want somebody to know. Listen, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Listen, it may be you the next time that needs somebody to come to the rescue. So, oh no, I'll never be there, preacher. I'll never be at that place. I bet David never thought, as the king of Israel and knowed how to fight, that he would ever be at the hands of the giant. Right? I dare David never thought that day would come. Do you ever think that day is going to come? I'd say most of us have been in that day if we're not careful. The giant has showed up and we've got weak in the battle, but God's been gracious and come and smiled on us and helped us. I don't know if you're in the battle this morning, but I tell you what, you sure can find some strength in the Lord.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads this morning. I want you to understand something. The battle's real. The battle's real. Let's get some verse of invitation, men, if we would. I don't know what you're fighting, but I do know this, that the devil used every trick and every tactic that he can use. He'll fight in your mind. He'll fight in your family. He'll use your health against you. He'll use everything that he possibly can to chip away at. And he'll take the strongest thing in your life, the strongest hold that you've got to the Lord, and he'll take a chisel and he'll begin to start chiseling away at that. And before you know it, there's already a hole worked in that if you ain't careful. What I'm saying this morning is you need to realize you're in the middle of a battle. And in the middle of a fight, and the devil wants to destroy you, destroy your home, destroy this church, destroy everything that we stand for in the Lord. And he'll do it if you let him. If you become faint and realize and don't realize how faint you've become, he'll destroy you. He'll tempt you out and get you into a place where temptation will come, and in your flesh you'll sin. And then your testimony. Just come in the car. Go ahead and start playing when you boys get ready there. Listen. Are you in a battle this morning? Are you in a battle? Are you fighting? So, preacher, I'm just swinging every day, it seems. Seems I'm just swinging every day, trying to serve the Lord the best that I know how. And boy, it seems like I get two steps forward, and before the day's done, it's three steps backward. I'm telling you, the Lord will help you. You can find strength in the Lord. Come and cry out to him, and he'll help you today. I'm glad he's my help. Listen, most of all, today, if you've never been saved, I want you to understand the Lord wants to save you today. He'll save you if you'll just come to him. If you'll just come and ask him, plead with him, say, Lord, I'm sorry being a sinner. Would you save me? He'll do that today. He'll do it. Heavenly Father, we come to you. Come to you today. We thank you. Folk been very attentive today. Well, Lord, just as sure as David fought that battle, and Lord, he waxed faint. There may be some folk in here waxing faint in the midst of the battle today. They don't really want to admit that. They don't really want to think that they have become faint, that they've become feeble, that they've lost their strength and that to fight. But Lord, I pray you've opened their eyes to that. Lord, that Satan's after them, that he's going to get them if they don't start calling on you, if they don't just depend on you today. Lord, if somebody needs to move, I pray they'll move. Maybe somebody needs to come and get saved. Lord, I pray they'll get saved today. Help during this invitation. Just help today, I pray, for these things in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed.